Before we start, let me show you a little bit about Argentina. And this is something, this is our trademark. This is a drink that we call mate. It's very popular in all around South America, but as if you know any Argentinian, you will know we try to take ownership and creation of everything that is nice and cool. So this drink, you prepare it in that sort of base that it could be all sort of things. Some people even use squash, dry them up and burning inside. And then you put that product that is called yerba, which you might associate it and you might see that thing in different movies with different names. But this is completely legal in all 50 states. But one time I was driving down from DC here to Florida, and the nice gentleman with a uniform stopped me in Georgia. And of course, in the trip, we were drinking mate. It's great because it's high on caffeine and it takes the hunger away. So we, with my wife, we were sharing mate, and then the police told me, so I put my mate right there in the cup holder, and we go on, and while I was speeding, and I was says, hey, we were with the kids, we were singing the wheels on the bus, and I got super excited. What can I say? And then, when everything seems that I was going away, he sticks his head inside the window and says, sir, what do you have over there? What is that? So he assumed I was drinking some other type of green stuff. But I explained to him about the culture, and I explained the whole experience, and he was reluctant. But finally, I'm free. So that was quite an experience. But what brings mate together for Argentinians is not just the beverage. It's not that you can drink it sour or you can put some sugar. It's not that you can drink it cold if you put some lemonade. It's really tasty. But it's the moment that you create around mate, because we actually share the same straw. So if there will be three or four or five of us, it's just around hot water, the mate, you drink it, you sip it, you finish, you put some water, you pass it along. I see your faces. Yes, and that's maybe why I don't live past 45 in Argentina, but anyhow. Anyways, we share this drink, and that's the moment, right? We can all go back to our old friends and remember secrets, experiences, all sort of things that we share when we were sitting around this drink, this mate. It bonds people together. I should have brought one and we could do some sort of crazy Latin communion, but again, my wife killed the idea. Says, no, it's a no-go. But that's what it brings people together. But how much better it is for us to come together here in this morning, because we have Jesus Christ as our common denominator, as the one that brings us together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning, and now we are ready to hear your word. Speak to us, Lord. We also remember and pray for those who lost everything earlier this week with the pass of the hurricane. We pray for those families that lost beloved ones. We pray for those churches in the community that had to rebuild not just the physical buildings, but also so many broken hearts and souls. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us this morning, speaking your word to each and one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Paul travels hunting Christians. And he asks letters to the synagogue. So give me permission, give me authority, so I can go all over the land capturing, killing Christians. And then he's in this high horse of his. And Jesus appears. And he falls from the horse. In that precise moment, Paul's life changes forever. Something else about El Mate. Even if I'm doing a great mate evangelism this morning, I wasn't an avid mate drinker before. And we were doing missions back in Argentina, and we were going visiting the rural areas of the country and visiting these little towns. And actually, I'm also by trade an architect, so I was working with this organization. We were going to these little towns, and we were literally building schools and churches and preaching to them. So also part of the work was going through the little towns where these people would send their kids like 40, 60 miles by horse or some case with a broken bicycle just to go and stay in this Christian school. So I had the chance to go and visit, and we were sharing with them. And I'm a city rat. I was born and raised in asphalt. So I don't know what is that green thing all over the around me. And we are going to this particular place in the middle of the mountains. Fantastic paradise. And these families don't have much. And you sit with them, and they offer you a mate with whatever they have, and they get some things from around. They make the mate, and they drink. First, very polite, I will say, no, thank you, I'm okay. And they were okay. I go to the second house, right? And they will do the same ceremony. They will prepare something. They will see us. They get some homemade cheese, some nice bread, and then mate. Would you like some mate? No, thank you. I don't drink mate in my home, right? By the third house, I feel a puncture on my lung. And it was actually Karina, my wife. She went elbow deep saying it, you are going to take that mate. What she helped me to understand, I love you, honey. What she helped me to understand at that particular moment is that by my actions, I was putting a barrier between myself and these people. And I wasn't just sharing with them. So I said, okay. I started drinking mate from that. We all have a moment in our life. A moment when we actually get thrown by our horse. And we need to accept, this is my place. And I have to embrace it. And I have to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about this moment. And starting on verse 15 says, but I have made no use of any of these rights, nor I am writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. How to myself I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if I not my own will, I'm still entrusted with stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Paul is writing this letter, and it's a tough letter for this church that he helped plant a few years back in Corinth, this great metropolis at that time. We could, if you try to picture a city, try to merge New York City with Las Vegas, and then that will give you a clear idea of the craziness that was in at that time and particular period. Moments. The moment when Paul falls from the horse, sees Jesus and starts serving. The moment about mate, when you realize you really have to be there to love people, to understand people, heart to heart. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, it reads something that is quite interesting. Let's go quickly. Well, you're cheating. You have the screen. I have to look here. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. What an amazing thing. I recall my great-grandfather. His name was Demetrius, and his name shows up in the Bible. So he was very, very proud man and said, see, I recall him, half Spanish, half Ukrainian, talking to me and says, this is my name in this book. What is your name? My name is Christian. Good luck. It's all over the place. But the honor, right, of your name being in that book. And it starts this letter, Paul giving his credential, and I'm putting the name of this guy, Sosthenes. But nothing happens by chance in the Word of God. And if we go back to Acts in chapter 18, it tells us a little bit about this story, how this church came to be. And in this passage, if we go to the verse 14, it will tell us that, the synagogue wasn't happy at all with the teachings from Paul. And he actually take him to Gallio, this consul of the proconsul of the city, tried to make him go to jail, just do something with him. And Gallio says to them, the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, or all Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it's a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourself. I refuse to be a judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized a good friend, Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. Moments. The moment that Paul understands he is no longer chasing Christians. He's now making Christians. The moment that Sosthenes was chasing Christians and he got beat up outside the tribunal. And the sentiment in that town, even if it was a great city, they agree, the Greeks and the people in that place wasn't so happy with these Jewish people living around. So they find a nice excuse and just beat him up. And we see when Paul writes this letter, this guy that he was arguing against Christ in the tribunal, now his name is on this letter. The moment that we are called, the moment that Jesus opens your heart to understand that you are not on standby. Anybody had to go to the DMV once in your life? And we all know about the trials and tribulations we have to endure in that place. And we are sitting right there. And now they give you this torture. When they give you a letter and a number, right? You are C-192. And then you look at the screen and they say C-190. And it says, I'm two numbers away. And you see, you don't even care and open up your phone because I'm two numbers away. And then you see in the screen, A-84. B-75, and time goes by, and that letter C doesn't change at all, right? Sometimes we as Christians believe we are the same way, that we are just now okay the way we are, and we are sitting waiting for the Lord to call us in his presence. But it's so much that we need to do before that time. Our moment is not just a waiting. Our moment is a moment of doing. And that takes you to the next passage. And it's about the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's pick up in verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. Jewish people, I know my accent is weird, and you think I'm going to the store to get Jews. No, it's Jewish people. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, to not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not to being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might have some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them its blessings. Brothers and sisters, something absolutely clear that we all need to walk out of here. The message of Christ has not changed in almost 2,000 years. The message of Christ is not going to change in the next 2,000 years. We can be wise like Paul was. We can change our methods. When I speak with the teens and to the guys at the city, they can tell you after the service, we smash applesauce, we set things on fire, we do some crazy stuff over there. You know, the method changes, but the message, the word of God, remains the same. When I have to speak in Espanol, it's the same thing. The illustrations, the stories that we might show, some of the points of the scripture might be completely different to what I'm talking to you this morning. The message does not change. Our moral compass should not change based on who we have in front of us. We shouldn't be accommodating. We shouldn't be diluting the message based on who is in front of me. We have a privilege that not even the angels have, the privilege of sharing the message of God, the message of salvation. And that truth that you have in your hands is the one that we need to share with absolutely everybody. We have great opportunities this year, and this is about global missions. And I want to show you some, so you have an idea, a visual idea of places. We have that moment, the moment that God is calling Paul, calling me, and is calling you. We know about the message of Jesus Christ. And now we have places. We have Romania. They went through some tough times last year. As Romania entered the United European Nations, there is all these new construction codes. So the kitchens, the bathrooms, everything that they have built right now is not up to code. And they use this property to bring a lot of Roma people, completely segregated, completely apart from the Romanian culture, and they give them the message. In a language that you and I don't understand, using soccer as a tool, they could have easily said, oh, well, there is new regulations, it's expensive to get all this approved, let's cancel the camp this year. No. What they did is they took the camp to the people. So when a group of us went last year. Actually, it was going to these villages and sharing with them and preparing some pre-made tents and taking some arts, some crafts, the word of Jesus. And they tell us that as they were walking down the streets, the roads, all people were just opening the doors and kids were just flocking and going with them. This year, it's going to be the same opportunity. The moment, the message. We have an opportunity to go back to Haiti. They also went through some difficult times. Actually, they were close to any missions for a few months. And I spoke with them and says, you know, we need you guys more than ever. So if you have a passion to serve, if you have actually any medical knowledge, if you are here a doctor or a nurse, we have an opportunity to go and serve. And even if you aren't, you can learn to take blood pressure and do an array of things in the villages around Haiti. They're still building up and they're still dealing with a lot of corruption and needs. But most of all, they need to hear about Jesus. We are so excited. We have an opportunity that we are praying, and I ask you to pray with me for Cuba. It's mind-blowing to think that 90 minutes away from here, there is this country where if you have soap or shampoo or meat, you consider yourself lucky. And there is this pastor that opens the door for us to go. And again, the last model car over there is from 1950s. They don't even have any longer the spare parts. So they actually make parts from other things, even wood, to fix their cars to keep them running. So this church, this ministry, they don't even own a car. That's a perfect excuse. Oh, I don't have a car. I'm not going to church. I'm not doing ministry. They did it guerrilla style. Every couple blocks, there is a vacation Bible school. The one that happened last year at the end of July, 120 kids show up. The government oppressed. They don't let you build your own church. They don't let you have nice facilities like the one that you and I are enjoying this morning. That's not an excuse. They get under a tree. They get in the pastor's apartment on a seventh floor and, you know, all the leader teams and everybody there sharing one shower. But most of everything, it might not be the most comfortable trip for you. I know I'm not selling it well. But that moment, the message, when you see these videos, and you will have a chance to see it in the next few weeks in our website, you'll see the kids' faces lighting up. Because somebody loves them. Because somebody is taking the message to them. In the U.S., what else can we say? I don't have to tell you to turn on the radio, Facebook, or TV to see how much do we need Jesus in our country, in our main cities, in our own city. We have opportunities in spring break to go back to New Orleans for a week with the teenagers. And we always can take some grown-ups to help lead. We have Vista Serve. Van just talked a few minutes ago. Somebody told me, you know, I'm not so comfortable with words. I am not really good at speaking. And okay, come with us. Let's do something. And it's in the doing. It's in the serving that God also is there. I was reading a part of what we are reading in Chronicles, and when it says, right, the creation speaks about God. How much will speak if you go and you help? Just moving some cinder blocks, painting a wall. Show the message of Christ. Leave it. In other news, we also are partnering with Bridges from Crewe. 15,000 students from all over the world are right here, 20 minutes away. We had a chance to do that tailgate event, and I cannot tell you, as I was talking with them, and I, again, zero football, that was my first tailgate event ever. No, I couldn't explain the rules. I don't understand them myself. Anyways, but somehow they pick up that I wasn't from around here. So I don't know what gave it away. And we start a conversation. See, it's those little things, like Paul says, to the Jew, I learned the law and I can explain to them. To the Gentiles, I went and I spoke about, you know, their own gods, their own things, so they could understand. Our method, our way to talk in Romania, in Haiti, in Cuba, in the States, four different countries, four different type of languages, the same message. Christ died for you, the same way he died for me. And our mission. And Paul, again, speaking to this church in Corinth, is very graphic. Every other year, about 4 miles away from the downtown Corinth, they were doing these games. They weren't as popular as the Olympics. That's why we don't see them on NBC. But still, they were bringing a lot of athletes from all around the area. And again, Corinth is placed in a particular area of the world that everything and everybody was going through them. Our mission. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He's speaking this clearly because, again, people in that particular city were seeing athletes every other year. And they saw them coming or going. Actually, we believe that that's when Paul was making a living. Remember, at one point in ministry, and Jesus and Paul is telling them, I never ask any money, any support from you. But Paul's career also was an expert tent builder. And what a perfect city to be in a temporary place, 4 miles away from Corinth, when the world was coming every other year and they all need a place to stay. So you can imagine he was pinching tents left and right to athletes, to visitors, to figures of government. That's when we said that he met these people that opened the door. They were the people of peace that started what is now the church in Corinth. But the mission is about the discipline. And the mission is about running. But not just running for the sake of running. Running to win it. Not just running to, hey, I have checked this. We all, I think, have that friend that gets into every possible marathon that is around, right? And I have this friend that has all this amazing collection of medals and numbers when you participate in all these races. You know how many that he has won? Zilch. He just died. That does it for the pleasure of doing it. And it's okay. It's good. I need it. But Paul says, don't just run. Run to win it. Run to get a result. We have this teen. She won't be named for security reasons. She comes to our city events. She's very competitive, very saucy. We did this game, and it was some sort of hockey game, right? And it was her turn. The game was tied. Tensions were high. pressure was on, and she was there trying to do it. You know, one misstep, the other player went around, scored the goal, her team lost. She was devastated. I don't want anybody watching Alexia right now. It has nothing to do with her. I will have a conversation with her parents later, probably. And then she had to do something, right? And she was like, all mad, like, says, Lexi, what's going on? I lost. They score a goal. I don't want. So, Lexi, it was just a game. Let's do worship. I don't want to lose. No. It's very competitive. And Stephen is the same. So nobody in that group is exempt of this. And that's good. We all need that drive to win. We all need to understand that missions is not just a committee. Missions is not just that Sunday of the year. Amigos, we are in the mission field. We are in the middle of it. It's for us to seize the moment. It's up to us to take the message of truth of Jesus Christ. It's up to us to fill the mission, to get discipline, to really, really, really want it. And we have the map. You will see on the back of the bulletins, if you didn't destroy it when Van was asking you to take the sheets apart. In the notes, I included a little bit. I like geography quite a lot, and I think it helped us to understand. Because we said, yes, Corinth was this great city, and they have all these great things going on, and it was a port, so everything was going through it. So we have probably an image of what that city was, right? Google is telling us it's right on the center of what was the most civilized part of the world back then. We have Rome, then we have Alexandria down there, we have Jerusalem, we have all the access to Asia. And right in the middle, it was this city. This city is older than Jesus Christ. It says it was probably 700 years old. Before the Jesus time. The Greeks found it, then the Romans saw the importance of it and took over, and now the Greeks got it again, and it's a great tourist attraction. Over 26 different temples and gods were worshipped in that city. Let's go to the next one. Let's zoom in. Corinth is right on the top. That little stretch, it's 4 miles, and this is very important to know, because we talk that it's a port, right? But there is 4 miles of land taking place. That didn't stop them. Actually, they say, historian says that Alexander the Great tried to dig that channel that you see right now. That channel is about 250 years old. It just was made recently. But Alexander the Great tried to build that channel to move the ships. He couldn't do it. Then the Romans tried, and they actually take slaves, over 2,000 slaves that die trying to build that channel. It didn't succeed. But that didn't stop that city from growing. What they actually did is they built 2 ports, one on that side, one on the other side. And in that narrow area, they built this gigantic avenue with smooth stone. And they will come with their ships, and they will unload everything in the port, and they will carry it to the next ship on the other side of the port, way to Rome or way to Jerusalem, to Alexandria, whatever you wanted, FedEx works there. If there was a lot of things to carry, didn't matter. 3-4 boats came together on one side. One big boat was waiting on the other side. Even they say that the smaller boats, they were actually will take them out of the water and put them in some sort of lock system, and actually carrying the boat 4 miles in dry land to get to the next port to continue their trip. That is a will to succeed. You know, they say now, if you go to New York City, if you there is a song by a popular poet, if you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere. That was Corinth back then. Actually, New York took that from Corinth. And of course, Corinth took it from Argentina. So if you were born poor at that time, I have a Brazilian friend that he's... if you were born poor, most likely you will die poor in that age. Nothing to do with this world that we live on. If you were born rich, you were most likely going to die a rich man. But if you will move to Corinth, because all this, what I just explained to you, crazy commerce and trade and moving ships and fixing ships and building new things and 26 temples and all sort of little things that they will sell you at the temples. I mean, everybody was making a great living back then. That's what Paul was saying then. Because from then, the gospel was going all over the place. And it's crazy, right? In this city, 4 miles of land didn't stop them to take the message. I give you this as a homework assignment. This is when the teen pastor comes alive. You can take this little map. You don't have to do it now in public. But this line that you see there, it could be a great placeholder to say, what is taking you to stop to move into the next port? What area of your life you need to write down here and say, Lord, let's just pave it over. Let's just use the smoothest marble so we can go what's next. We have different options this morning just to finish. And it's maybe you are on this small boat that always is getting to the first port. And it's time for you to unload and move on and jump and see what's next. Maybe it's time for you to give everything that is pushing you down and move it to a bigger boat. Come to me and I will give you peace, says Jesus. Maybe all our loads are making our ship slow. Maybe all our concerns, maybe all our excuses are being a barrier that doesn't let us move past forward. And you see, well, Chris, why just people didn't swim around that peninsula and be over with? They said that because of the technology at that time for the ships and the currents and the winds and all the circumstances, it was a treacherous passage. They would rather go and go through all this trouble and loading the ships and moving them forward than just go around. Because they said, there is an historian, he's famous to be exaggerating the truth a little bit, that said, he was an Argentinian, that he says, you can go by the peninsula once and you'll be a lucky man, but you will never make it twice. He says, that's how difficult it was trying to go around. Sometimes I try to go around. Sometimes I try to go around that moment that I know that God called me. Sometimes we try to go around and we try to please people and we change the message and we do not honor God. Sometimes we try to go around, let somebody else go into the mission trip. Let somebody else go and serve. We try to go around. But in that map, it's not just a map of the city for you this morning. It's a map for your own destiny. In Spanish, we think backwards. So everything that I said in my brain, I had to process backwards. That's the way that our Spanish grammar works. Probably you pick it up in some of my sentences this morning. So we talk about the moment. We talk about the message. We talk about the mission. And we talk about the map. Let's flip them over. Now, looking at the map, we'll see that the mission field is in desperate need for the message of Jesus Christ. And this is your moment, our moment, to rise, to run, and to answer the call. We have Romania, we have Haiti, we have Cuba, we have plenty of opportunities here in the States. The mission field is right here. Our opportunity to serve, our privilege to serve is right here. Then, as you will keep reading the book of Corinthians during this week, you will find out that then it speaks about the members of the body, right? And I am 100% sure that God give you a gift that I don't have. And if you don't do it, nobody else will be able to. Your contacts, your culture, the way to reach out to certain groups of people, it's all right here. In a city, in a state that has seen 100 million people from all over the world coming just last year. But that's for a couple Sundays down the road. Now, take them up. Whatever is not letting you move to the next port, write it down. It's something that helps when we write something up, that makes us gain conscious, to challenge, to ask God for forgiveness, to ask God for strength to move forward. And then, let's talk. We will have the next couple Sundays after our second service an opportunity to answer your questions about all these great places that so much need the message of Jesus. So please come to see me. Chris Crawford also, she's a great help. So we would love to answer any of your questions regarding missions. But again, the mission field is right here. You don't have to wait until 2019 to do any of those things. Let's stand up and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful because you love us so much that you created that moment special to each one of us that we will cherish, that we will remember forever. Thank you for the message of truth. Thank you for the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for giving us the privilege to go and be the ones that will share this with somebody else. Thank you, Lord, for putting us in a place, not by chance, but because of your will. Each and one of us is here this morning, ready to seize that moment, to take the message in a mission. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.